Bob, we have to inject a little life in the second half here. We just got a nice halftime speech from Nelly. This is a big third quarter for us.
You dog, you. This is where it starts. You come out of the locker room. The first drive matters.
Yeah, Paul's injured. He's on an IV right now back in the locker room.
And you and I are going to carry him, just like they did with Byron Leftwich at Marshall. They're going to take him down all the way to the field, carry him so he can continue to play.
What if me and you carried Paul to his seat like that, like they did Leftwich? Paul, you going to make it? What's your latest ointment over there? I don't know. Is Coca-Cola? Is Coca-Cola the right ointment for a stomach issue,
Bob? Every so often, yes.
It is. It's like ginger ale, same kind of thing, I think.
It's the Hail Mary.
It really is. You're
it's the
right.
Hail Mary.
In elementary school, the nurse would give us just pure Coke syrup without the carbonation.
Really?
Yeah. It was people would fake being sick just to go to the nurse's office and drink it.
I feel
delicious.
Like Paul's tried too much here. He's gone everything either way to enhance this or to stifle it, like Pepto-Bismol,
like I said, I've done,
ginger ale.
I swear yesterday I overdosed on Pepto-Bismol. I had to.
Yeah.
And I also did a bunch of ginger ales, and I also did the whole eating something bland like crackers, and I would, did everything. Like I said, Hail Mary is, let's try for the Coke, because actually in the old days, doctors used to give people Coke as opposed to like medicine. Seriously, for certain kinds of stomach aches or whatever.
Yeah.
And they would basically, like give them if they had like a constipation type thing. You know what I mean? Or whatever.
It'll definitely work for that.
I'm just saying. So, again.
But I didn't think that was your problem.
It's not. Well, I mean, I got dual problems. So my thing is, this is the Hail Mary of Hail Marys before I go home and just
I hope
lay
it
down.
Works. I mean, if we were covering this show, Bob, you and I in the press box, they would have gotten word to us that Paul is questionable for the second half.
Yes, actually.
Right?
I probably should have been pulled out of the game in the first quarter. But I've been fighting through this,
Nelly, I find this admirable. Do you with Paul?
I'm doing the whole Byron Leftwich thing. You know, remember when they carried him down the field?
No, we've never thought of that.
With a broken leg.
This is Paul's flu game.
This is the Jordan game for Paul.
But it's not a flu, although.
Except instead of winning an NBA
neither
title.
Neither was Jordan's. Did you ever get that story, Bob? It was pizza.
Pizza, yeah.
That got delivered.
Instead of talking about or winning an NBA championship, we're talking about Joey Bart.
So I admire you, Paul, for your tenacity here. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob, as you can relate to, we had a little incident on a Saturday talk show at the station. Matt Cole.
I'm not aware of that. What happened?
My old buddy Folsey was doing a show. Matt Cole does a great show by himself. I was driving back from Tom's Run Golf when I decided to call in as Ron from Cook's Forest, thinking that there's...
So now you've gone from me, hey, Bob, you're going into a different area.
Well, you'll hear it in a minute, but I thought there were... If you would have told me, what are the chances I'm going to get through as Ron from Cook's Forest? Folsey and I did a show with Ron for 5 years. Jolie Nelson was at the controls back there. I would have said I have a 1% chance of getting through. I just did it as a lark to, have a laugh with Jolie, the producer, and maybe Folsey himself. But then this happened.
Let's take a quick call here before I get to more one thing statements here on sports. And we'll go to Ron in Cook's Forest, wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Folsey, you know what they say. You can't make the club in the tub, Bob.
Ron in Cook's Forest. That is absolutely incredible.
He fell prey to your shenanigans just like I have.
I know. And speaking of that, Paul, let's rank these now, shall we? I think we have... Paul is hurting over there. I don't mean to laugh. I've been there. And I've been there many times. And I hope you feel better.
Me too. Trust me.
Me too. So here have been the calls. Bob, I need your undivided attention.
And you have it.
I don't. You're on the phone. I don't know what
matter.
You're doing.
It doesn't matter. I can still
Something's
listen.
Something's happening. These have been the calls and the initial reaction from either Bob or Falsey. I think there's five of these. Let's rank them 1 to 5, shall we, gentlemen? Let's go, Nelly.
Alvin in Aliquippa is on the line right now. Hello, Alvin. How are you?
Hey, Bob. You think Gino can carry the backup field?
I didn't expect Alvin, you dog, you.
That's tough to top, but let's go with the second one.
Hey, let's go out to Glenn. In Glenn Willard, that makes sense. Glenn, what's up? Did you move there because of your name?
Hey, Bob, you think Tyler Palco could be the Steelers quarterback? Bob, Glenn from Glenn Willard, come on.
I had a feeling it was you, Starkey, but I wasn't sure because there could be a Glenn and Glenn Willard. So I'm thinking to myself, is this Joe Starkey? You haven't done this in a while, which led me to believe this was a legitimate call.
That one wasn't bad. I won't put it up with Alvin from Aliquippa, but keep that in mind as we go to number three.
All right, let's get back to the lines. They've been hopping all along. Bill and Clinton is first up in this hour. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I didn't have the heart.
Oh, he dropped. Sorry, Bill.
I
know you were waiting a little bit. I apologize for that.
I didn't have the heart to go through with Bill from Clinton. I thought you would snap on me.
Well, I mean, there is, and that's not what you were doing before. You were going with this alliteration thing, and now
I know,
you switched.
But I know. And that led to, well, where are we going here? Oh, yeah, this one was borderline illegal. Is this Fanny, I think?
Yeah, this is the one that was not fair.
Okay. Nellie's work.
Fanny in Butler is joining us right now. What's up, Fanny?
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Hey, Bob.
No. No, you can't do that. Fanny and Butler makes no sense. You know what? You
are you kidding me? He got through with that?
You let him get through.
He sounded like a genuine. I can't even believe it.
That was me.
How can you do that?
That was me using my wife to get in there.
Right, which went against everything you've ever done. I had no feel whatsoever.
Yeah, that was illegal, I think. And then the latest one, which I still, of all the ones that I thought wouldn't get through, this was number one on the list, and yet we had this with poor little Falsey.
Let's take a quick call here before I get to more one thing statements here on sports, and we'll go to Ron in Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Hey,
Falsey, you know what they say. You can't make the club in the top, Bob.
Ron and
Paul,
Cooks
where
Forest.
Would you rank that one? Let we have Alvin and Aliquippa, which led to you, dog,
we,
you.
What are we actually ranking here?
you ranking, dog, you.
The nickname? Are we ranking?
That's
Paul,
a great question.
Are
the
we
overall.
What it is that you know the
overall quality, the name, Bob's response, the voice on the other end. So we have.
Well, I would say, without a doubt, at least my favorite is Ron in Cooks Forest.
Yeah.
And the fact that that got through is incredible to me. I mean, again.
I would have been.
Would you have stopped that?
I would have. I'm gun shy anymore about anything. So the Bill and Clinton, come on now. All right, let's get back to the lines. They've been hopping all along. Bill and Clinton is first up in this hour. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the show. How are you? And you just
I couldn't do it.
You dog you.
I think you dog you is number one, which was Alvin from Aliquippa.
Alvin in Aliquippa is on the line right now. Hello, Alvin. How are you?
Hey, Bob. You think Gino can carry the backup field?
I didn't expect Alvin, you dog you.
That made it, Bob. You dog you. What was going through your mind when you actually said that?
A lot of other words that I couldn't use.
That's number one in my book, followed by Ron and Cook's Forest, followed, believe it or not, from Bill from Clinton, Glenn from Glenn Willard, and Fanny from Butler. Bob, you have a particular favorite?
No, none of them. I have decided we are not going to take calls anymore on my show. It's going to be all Twitter responses. That's it.
Would you have flagged Ron from Cook's Forest?
Knowing you, that one made, as soon as I heard, I wasn't sure what it was when you played it, I would have known that was you.
Were you listening
live? No, I just heard it now for the first time. I would not have Ron and Cook's Forest. Now, that's a little much.
I thought that was my favorite.
Yeah.
Alvin and Aliquippa, I could see why that would get through, because that would be...
Yeah, I mean, there is an Alvin somewhere.
Glenn,
right. If I'm going to be...
That was stretching it. Yeah.
Glenn from Glenn Willard, though.
That was ridiculous.
But yeah,
come on, Bob.
Paul, the beauty of that for him was that he hadn't done it for several weeks.
It was well-timed.
And so I didn't... my guard was down, and I didn't think there could be a Glenn in Glenn Willard.
And then what was the other one? Bill from Clinton.
All right. Enough.
I feared the wrath of Bob if I went with Bill from Clinton.
All right, let's get back to the lines. They've been hopping all along. That's enough. Come on, bourgeois.
You dog, you.
It's really taken off, too, Bob. A lot of people. Has anybody else even tried it?
I've not tried it.
Yeah.
It's in actually out.
Yeah.
We were at an event the other night. Some guy comes up to me from behind who I didn't know who he was. He goes, "Hey, Bob." I said, "Oh, no."
Sorry about that.
I don't want this to start.
I like I said, Ron from Cook's Forest, if you're asking me to rank it, that's number one.
It was a joke.
And then there's Mark Cabali. All right. Let's move on from that silliness. We have a game 7. So I ask you, surely you both agree that the greatest game 7 in Pittsburgh sports history is Bill Mazeroski. Mm-hmm. How about after that? The greatest game 7 in Pittsburgh sports history outside of Maz, and this could be a personal taste for one of you, is what? Bob?
Well, I'll tell you the one that was most heart-wrenching is in Atlanta, Fulton County Stadium. That game 7 had a potential to be a wonderful game 7 because the Pirates had not won any series.
That would have been the greatest.
That would have been.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's not one that's better than Detroit. That's the best one.
Well, I don't think there's even a rival. That's it, because the way they did it and how they did it.
I mean, Detroit.
I don't think there's a better one than that.
For me personally, because I grew up worshiping the Pirates, Game 7, 79, Willie Stargell.
Well, 79, yeah.
But
was that a better game?
I didn't think Game 7 in Detroit was a great game. I thought it was very tense.
I thought it was great because they had shut down this enormous offensively gifted machine that was Detroit. They had lost to them the last...
I'll tell you what might have been the greatest Game 7. Was when they went into Washington and blew them out when Fleury made the save early in the
Ovechkin.
Game.
Oh, I thought we were talking about...
So was I. I thought you said finals.
Just in the championship.
No. I'm talking any game 7.
Oh, okay. That opens up
any
a whole
game
different...
Yeah,
but I still think...
I'm with Paul in that the one in Detroit, having been there and having gone on the ice afterward, because these are personal preferences, right? I'll never forget that. I'll never forget it. But I guess for me... Game 7 of 79 is number one, outside of Maz, which I wasn't even alive for.
Yeah, I mean, that one was just defied all the odds because the Yankees had outscored them 16-3, 10-0. I mean, all these games were so lopsided, and yet the Pirates won 4 of the 7.
How about Game 7, Steve Blass in 71?
Well, Steve Blass, 2 complete games in that series.
Yeah.
All under 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Any others come to mind, Penguin-wise, Pirate-wise?
Well, how about the last time a Pittsburgh team won a championship in Pittsburgh in a Game 7? Or any game.
Well, they never have they?
Or any game.
Except for Maz.
Except for the
Pittsburgh. Since then, there's nobody. The Penguins, all 5 have been on the road, right?
Right.
Who was, except for the Pittsburgh Pipers?
In the Is that a game 7?
It's the last time. It was a game 7, A, and also it took place here in Pittsburgh, B. They beat the New Orleans Buccaneers. Connie Hawkins was the most valuable player of the ABA.
You're right about that. I'm looking at the box score right now. Bob, were you there?
No.
May 4th, 1968, Doug Moe was on the Buccaneers.
How about that?
And Larry Brown was on the Buccaneers.
How about that?
He went 7-14 from the field, Bob, but he missed 4 free throws, or they might have won the game. Oh, my God.
Kind of interesting, isn't it?
It's really interesting.
I've made the argument because, you know, when the Penguins won the championship, remember it was game... So they were up, 3-1, I think, here. against San Jose, and everybody assumed, oh, well, they're just going to win here. It'd be the first time since the Mazeroski game that a team won a championship in Pittsburgh in one of the major sports. And I argue that 68 is actually that because the ABA, you know, the ABA, the NBA became one.
Right.
The ABA was still, you know, about the highest level you could play at, and they won it here.
How about Charlie Williams went off for 35 points, Bob? Yeah. Huh? From Seattle University. I didn't know that.
Didn't know
did
that
you?
Either. No.
Did you know of him, Paul? Went 16 of 27 from the field.
No.
That's absolutely incredulent. Did this guy ever even average? What did he average point-wise in his career? Only averaged 20 points a game once. He went off for 35.
Doug Moe had 28 points in that game.
I know he did.
Larry Brown had 18.
I know. It's incredible.
How about that?
I would love to have been in the building for that. But I'm going game 7 of 79. Now that was a tense ball game.
Wait.
They were down 1-0 and Stargell hit the home run and then Teague came in and saved it.
Well, you also have that series against Ottawa.
Oh,
Chris Kunitz.
That might be it, Paul.
Double overtime?
Was it double or even triple?
That was a great game though, but you're right.
No, but I mean it could have if they don't win that then there goes a shot.
IT said that about 5 minutes ago.
IT said Game 7 Ottawa?
With Kunitz.
Yeah, and my friend Chris Hoffman at KDK also suggested that. And he's right. That's one.
That was a legendary Game 7.
It was. Ottawa back then was really good.
Basically, in that game, Connie Hawkins was one assist away from a triple-double.
Was he?
Yes. But anyway, I digress. Obviously, I mean, to me, the Red Wings series, Game 7. But the Capitals one is a good one, too. But those were two great game sevens for the of course we're incurring the wrath, Joe, of you know, one of the tweeters who basically is going to tell us that, you know, best game sevens is lazy radio.
Probably.
Same idiot who last week was upset because we spent 5 minutes talking about Mount Rushmore.
Well, the worst game sevens were clearly 91 and 92.
Yeah.
Ugh. Right. Another great game seven was Tampa Bay here. Before the Lightning became great, Brian Rust scored two goals. Yeah. Remember that?
That was
game
good,
seven?
But that doesn't resonate just like the Kunitz one. The Kunitz one
honestly,
is really important.
I'll say this. The Game 7 in 91, even though it's not as dramatic as the Game 7 in 92, the Game 7 in 91 was far worse. They came back home to Pittsburgh. They were up 3-2 in the series, and they didn't score a single run in two games. That was their team, because after that season, they lost Bonilla, they lost John Smiley, and the next year they were good, but you know what? The Braves were probably better. And so it's one of those things where the Sid Bream game is what we always focus on.
But yeah, the year before.
But the 91 series,
set up
and that
better.
Game seven was far worse for me.
Because they had two chances.
That was far worse for me.
How about 1999, Devils and Penguins? That went to game seven.
Oh, was that a great game? The Penguins were an 8 seed. Great call there.
Devils are the only number one seed in NHL history to bow out in the first round in back-to-back years.
Kevin Constantine did that. So did Marty Straka and Jágr. They beat them in seven games.
They needed to play more playoff games to stay in Pittsburgh with Jágr.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. That's a great call. That was a very memorable game seven with the Jágr Penguins.
Yeah, that was. Now, I still believe the one to win a cup is going to be number one just because of the significance of it, where they did it, how they did it, the save at the end, all those moments. But I would put the Kunitz one second.
That's a good one. Well, what about the one on the second Sully Cup where they go into Washington?
Yeah, that's...
After the Capitals beat them like 6-0 or 6-2 in game six, and the Penguins go in and win. Remember that one, Bob?
Which makes you wonder about this one tonight, because now you have one team that's really on a roll, and you'd expect Edmonton to just continue. But then again, Florida at home. I still like Florida at home.
You do?
Yeah.
Man, I'm seeing those guys are seeing ghosts. Those
Bobrovsky's seeing ghosts, and he's the one guy who can't see them. He shouldn't see them, given how he played throughout the course of this tournament, and yet the advantage has to go to Stuart Skinner. I never thought I'd say that. He's 4-0 in his last four, 9-28 elimination games. He's been terrific.
I'm going with Edmonton, Paul. I have to. I got to go with McDavid.
I honestly think I agree with Bob.
Really?
I kind of feel like they're going to win.
I just think at home, and now, how the game is played will you know, obviously, now that they know there's one game left, I think the thing that's changed for Florida, they came after Edmonton early on with a huge physical package that Edmonton could not respond to.
Yeah.
They go up 3-0, and then all of a sudden, things change a little bit. They backed off. I don't know if it was intentional. They ran out of gas. Then it all switched to the skill taking over the physicality, and then Edmonton's game came to life. And I really think that's what's happened. And so now Florida has to get back to doing what they did in the first three games. And I expect them to out-hit Edmonton tonight every opportunity they get. You know they're not going to be a lot of penalties called. Chances are. That feeds into Florida's game. And I think they'll score first and make it tough on Edmonton.
I just think the greatest player in the world and one of the greatest who ever lived is in that game
But he
tonight.
Had no points in game six either.
But he always has an impact on the game.
Should he be MVP even if they lose?
Let's talk about that next. That's a great question. And also, I have Pittsburgh Game 7 trivia for Bob and Paul coming up. Here's an example of this. Nelly, you're in on this,
too.
You
do these trivia things out of the blue, and it joggles our memory.
You and IT can be a team in there. Here's an example. Who scored the Penguins' goals 2017 Game 7 at Washington? Everybody thought the Capitals were going to win. They had roared back from down 3-1 in the series, blown out the Penguins in Pittsburgh. They go home for Game 7. The Penguins win 2-0. Who scored the Penguins' goals in that game? Anybody?
Carl Hagelin?
No.
I'm going to say Nick Bonino.
There's no cheating back there.
Nick Bonino?
Wrong.
Phil Kessel?
Wrong. You don't get two guesses. Well, Paul? Wrong. Bob?
Well, I was
Brian Rust.
Yes, he scored one.
Trevor
Tom
Daly.
Kunackle is even on the team back.
Trevor
I can't
Daly.
No one.
Ben Lovejoy.
Nope. The horny boy wonder, Patrick Hornquist.
Okay.
Scored the second goal to make it 2-0. That's a sampling of what you're going to get, Bob. You better start looking up stuff.
I'm not looking up
sevens.
Anything because it doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. It
matters a lot. It's you against Paul, Paul against you, you against Nelly, Nelly against Paul, Nelly against Bob, IT against Bob. Paul against IT and Nelly against Paul. You ready, Bob?
Are we doing it right now?
No, we're okay. Doing it next. I know you've already gone back
I'm
to
not,
the phone.
But that's because I'm answering some text messages that I need to answer.
It's unbelievable how
you're
he's,
going
free,
to a
he's
break.
Free to admit that.
Once again, the clock management is not on your side. All right, let's get back to the lines. They've been hopping all along.
No.
Bill and Clinton
no.
First up in this hour. Hello, Bill.
I can't
Welcome
believe
to the show.
You,
How are
bourgeois.
You? You dog, you.
Bob's getting tired of this, Nelly. We have to stop with the clips. He's getting fed up.
By the way, one of our texters, J-H-O-M-A-S, has another interesting Game 7 moment for the talk.
What's that, Bob?
And that would be Darius Kasparaitis in Buffalo
Game
7.
Oh, my God. That might have been the best one, Paul.
That was, yeah.
When he did a stomach slide across the entire length of the ice after he scored the goal.
And Game 7 in the previous series against the Sabres
that's
was amazing.
One that should have been at the top of our list, really.
Yeah, but that, I mean.
That might have been. Wow, I forgot about that.
I forgot
that
about
one.
It, too, but thank you for the text.
All right, let me
tweet,
spice
I mean.
This up with a few little questions of Game 7 trivia. You guys ready? IT, you ready? This might be before your time a little bit. Nelly, you're not cheating on a computer, are you?
No, I'm not.
Bob and Paul, you ready for a little Game 7 Pittsburgh trivia?
Go right ahead.
All right.
This is Joe's effort to embarrass us all with lack
of
memory.
Well, no. I wouldn't have gotten, I don't think, hardly any of these. It's just for fun, Bob.
Okay.
Don't be like Ron. He never liked trivia because he was afraid everybody would come back and tell him what he didn't know.
I'm gonna just tell you in advance. Most of this is just if you don't like your memory.
Yeah, they don't call it trivia for nothing.
Okay, go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah.
This was the 1989 Patrick Division Finals, the Robbie Brown Hexie series, where Hextall went after Rob Brown. You remember that, Bob?
I love that. And they got in Hextall's head so badly.
1989. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Penguins win game 5, 10-7. They win by a field goal. That was the Robbie Brown game. But the Flyers come back and win game 6 and then game 7 here in Pittsburgh. Who played goal for the Flyers in game 7 and beat the Penguins? Hint, it was
Ken
not.
Ken Reggett.
Very nice, Bob. Give yourself a little credit.
Reggett 31. The bar down in Pittsburgh. Yeah,
that's right. Reggett 31. We've actually talked about that several times.
How about that? He beat Tommy Barrasso in that game, and they win the game 4-1, and the Penguins lose. Okay. Very good, Bob. I commend you for that. The horrific Game 7 against the Braves, the Sid Bream game. You ready? We'll let Paul go first here, unless IT wants to jump in. Who batted leadoff for the Pirates that night? Wrong.
Orlando Merced.
No.
Give me 1 second.
I would have never gotten this.
Wasn't Orlando Merced. He was batting leadoff in a lot of those games.
I think he batted second that night.
What year?
Whatever year the Bream, 92.
92.
No, Cecil Espy.
Great guess, but no.
Really?
Mm-hmm. This is a tough one.
I'm trying to think of leadoff.
Was Dale Barra? He wasn't their
No.
What was their shortstop name? Wasn't Dale Barra? Was
Jay Bell? You'll never get it.
Ray Ordonez.
No, I wouldn't have got it either.
Wait.
Okay.
Jose Leaned.
No, but a good guess again. Do you want a tip? A hint?
A hint.
Lavalier.
No. That would have been a desperation.
I don't even know what hint to give you other than he shares his last name with a future very good Pirate pitcher. That's all I can say. A very high draft pick, the pitcher was.
Chandler? No. Who on their team? I think of
Alex Cole.
I would never have guessed that.
Me neither.
Never have guessed
that. Batted leadoff that night.
I forgot he was even on that team.
Is that incrinculent or what? Everybody forgets this because everything happened in the bottom of the ninth. Who got the win for the Braves that night? The Cabrera game.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
He's a famous closer.
John Smoltz. Rocker.
No.
That's a good guess.
John Smoltz?
Nope. He started the game.
He started the game, yeah.
Avery wouldn't have been in that game, would he?
He was in that game, but he didn't get the win. Very good guess, Bob. Wrong. Jeff Reardon.
Reardon.
Gee, I would never guess that either.
Paul gets first crack here because it's one of his favorite players. Did Dion get an at-bat that night, Paul, for the Braves?
I don't think he did.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. And what did he do, Bob? Wrong. He struck out.
I don't remember what he did, but I do remember Jim Leland always said that was his best managed game because he used everyone on their bench. They had no options except Francisco Cabrera. So he was proud of the fact that he had manipulated their bench over Bobby Cox.
Yeah, but here was the problem with Jim Leland. He managed as if, people were actually saying this afterwards. Well, if it would have went to the 10th inning, the Pirates were in much better shape. They had more pitchers available and more hitters available. Guess what? It didn't go to the 10th inning. So I hate that. You touched a bad nerve with me there. That's a really
bad. The reason I know he batted is because we were down there and they went through the entire roster.
I'll say it from the start. I would have pulled Doug Drabek before the inning started and put Tim Wakefield in to start the ninth.
Wow.
That's what I would have done.
Would you have done that, Bob?
I said it then before it happened.
No.
I'll still say it. I even say it. And the thing was, the reason, the rationale, they didn't use Wakefield after.
Paul's awakened well.
No yelling on the ball. This is probably why my stomach hurts. because of the stuff like this. After, what was it, Terry Pendleton led off with a double? Was that what happened? He led off with a double down the line?
But Stan Belinda was victimized by Jose Leaned. It didn't matter who was on the mound. I thought Leaned.
Espy didn't have a great play over in right field either.
But Leaned, that whole inning just completely
fell apart because of Leaned. I'm just telling you, I went to Tim Wakefield. They couldn't hit him.
Would you, Bob, have gone to
him? No, I would stick with Belinda.
And once they got a guy on base, the rationale was, well, Wakefield's knuckleball might be a pass ball. It might, get away from the catcher. They couldn't hit Wakefield at all that entire series. I would have put him in. to start the ninth inning, and I would have won the game.
Here's a goodie. Game 7, 2009. Penguins go into D.C. and blow out the Capitals. Fleury makes a great save on an Ovechkin breakaway. The Penguins had three multiple point scorers in the game. Malkin, Crosby, and you ain't going to get this one. Named after a deity, but not the right kind. A bad person. A very bad person.
3 points.
Yep. No, multiple points.
Or multiple points.
Wrong. Miroslav Shatan.
Yeah. That's right. Miro.
Who pitched for the Orioles game 771 against Blass?
Jim Palmer.
Wrong.
Mike Cuellar.
Right. Game 779, who caught the final out against the Orioles?
Omar Moreno.
Very good, Bob. You're doing very well.
Wow.
What was the starting pitching matchup, game 779, Pirates-Orioles?
Wrong. Bruce Kieson. Jim Palmer.
Wrong. But they were both there.
Starting pitchers.
Wrong. Jim Bibby against Scott McGregor. And here's the coup de grace. Senators-Penguins, the Chris Kunitz game. Mm-hmm. Who was the only senator with 2 points that night?
Chris Neal.
Wrong.
Bobby Ryan.
Wrong. Paul, the only senator with 2 points that night.
Oh, Daniel Alfredson.
Wrong.
I can't even remember who was on
that team.
They had two stars, right, basically, on that team.
No, they had a good team.
Eric Carlson.
Carlson.
IT! With the win, yeah, comes out of nowhere.
They were a team that won because of their system.
Yeah,
but I remember they had two guys that were like really legitimate stars.
Eric Carlson had 2 points that night before Kunitz.
That's a
won
good
it
one.
What a game that was, Bob.
I hate when I put pen on my pants.
That's okay.
No, it's not. It won't come out.
Everything's going.
Do you have
well
one of those things?
What things?
You know, the things that you.
That didn't sound right.
Tide sticks or whatever they call those things. Does anyone have
just
one?
Just carry around tide stick?
Yes.
No.
I just wrote all
those. Some I used to.
You carried around a tide stick?
I used to, yeah.
Wow.
Why do I have a pen down by here?
Who would have thunk? Well, that's a good question too, Bob. Coming up, Bob raised an interesting question. Let's go back and take a harder look at Game 7. Would you give the Conn Smythe to Connor McDavid if they don't win? We'll answer that question next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We'll get back to the Pirates, who start a series against the Reds, and we're going to talk a lot about the trade deadline, what Bob Nutting said. That's basically where we spent the majority of the show, the first 2 hours, really, of the show, is what will the Pirates do and what should they do. So we're certainly going to get into that in the 1 o'clock hour as well.